Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, you're going to hear this.
Three applications all at once. That almost sounds like a Next Fan Up TV reality show.
I don't have time to go through everything. It's free agency. Let's get the party started. No.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Oh boy, do we have a lot of information to get through today. Hey everybody, I am Pod Vader. I am here with the super fans, and it's week one of free agency, and boy oh boy, do we have a lot of news to cover. So we're going to do our best to try to get through it all as quickly as possible. We'll try and keep this podcast to about an hour. Can't promise anything, but we'll see what we can do from there. I have emails to get to. We have Broncos superfan applications to get to. And the Broncos, talking about free agency, they're going to be a major topic that we're going to get to. Matt Williamson is going to join us here in just a few minutes. So we're going to talk to him about some of the biggest moves in free agency so far. But let me introduce you to the voices you will hear on today's show. As usual on Thursdays, we have our Steelers superfan, Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hello. Got my move tight end. I'm pretty happy today.
We'll be getting to that. We've got Neil, our Redskins superfan. He's also becoming a Thursday regular. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Jay. I tell you, I am frisky today. In fact, to tell you the truth, I'm as frisky. Well, I'm as frisky as that thing that lives on Donald Trump's head.
And coming to us, our Seattle Seahawks superfan, Justin. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Hey, Pod. Great to be here. Go Hawks.
All right. If you want to apply for a super fan position, nextfanup@gmail.com. We're going to get, like I mentioned, we're going to get to some Denver Bronco submissions a little bit later in today's show, especially as we're talking about the Denver Broncos in terms of free agency today. But right now, I want to get to our very special guest. You all know him as Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL on Twitter. Here we go. M-Dub, it has been a busy first week of free agency. It really hasn't even been a week yet. It's technically not even 24 hours, but glad to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. How are you? I've been quite busy. My head's spinning with all these moves, but it's a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun because everyone's a winner in March, unlike right. at the end of December. What has been the biggest move in your mind so far in free agency?
Well, the Giants overall, I mean, they went a little crazy yesterday. I mean, they made all those cuts, you know, a couple weeks ago, guys like Will Beatty, and it's pretty clear what they want to do. I mean, you look at this team and, you know, historically, as your Patriots know, they're all about the defensive line. And they went all in to get a run stuffer and two edge rushers. And, you know, they want to stuff the run and get you in third and long and come after you and then play man on the back end with Janoris Jenkins. And I guess that makes sense, but it's also a very high-risk approach considering, you know, how much is a pure run stuffer worth? Pierre Paul's got a club on his one hand, and yeah, he played well, but he can't get quarterbacks on the ground. He can't get, you know, tackling is a problem for him. And Vernon's a very good player, but I don't think he's an elite Von Miller, Pierre Paul type athlete. And I'm always wary of guys that, you know, all of a sudden just shoot up the boards on their, in their contract year. And Janoris Jenkins a very hit or miss guy too.
You know, they've definitely focused mostly here on defense. They've focused only on defense here. But is defense really the only place that the Giants should be considering right now?
No, they have holes everywhere. Their roster's terrible. And it did get better overnight. That's great. But they have holes everywhere. I mean, they historically always ignore their linebackers, and they probably will again. But, boy, their linebackers are bad. They really need a free safety. But, okay, so, I mean, they at least filled half of their defensive holes. We know the offensive line needs work. I mean, their running backs are bad, too. I mean, I would think they're going to be in the Ezekiel Elliott sweepstakes at this point. They should certainly consider adding a difference maker running back. They're okay at tight end, and they have Beckham and nothing else at wide receiver. So they have a lot of work to do.
Matt, I was just wondering if they've done all of this to because they know that Eli Manning's only got 3, 4, 5 seasons left. Win now.
Well, I think even more than that is I think the GM might only have one season left. You know, I mean, things have gone bad in New York, and I think that, Reese is one is has to feel a little bit of pressure, even though they have a new coach. You know, it's basically the entire same staff that has, you know, been disappointing, but mostly their drafts have been disappointing. So I think that, you know, if you're, you got to think of it from a human standpoint that, hey, I don't want to put my house up for sale. I don't want to pull my kids out of school. I want to stay in New York. This has been a pretty good gig. So I'm going all in to win now because I don't want to get fired.
All right, so that's who's been the biggest player so far. Who's done the best so far?
Kansas City has surprised me. You know, I thought they were going to take a big step back. You know, they had a lot of these defensive free agents, and they lost Smith to the Raiders. I think the Raiders have done really well, too. But I thought it would be uglier for the Chiefs. You know, they went out and got guys like Mitchell Schwartz, who is a real quality right tackle. I didn't think they'd be able to get all these guys under the cap. You know, I'm not saying they did the best, but they're the ones that surprised me that they didn't get hit hard.
Who's been a real head scratcher so far?
Miami for sure. They always are. You know, I mean, they seem like they put a lot of money into older, big name guys. I mean, I'd much rather have Olivier Vernon than I would Mario Williams. And now you have Williams and Wake as your defensive ends who are old and certainly in the downsides of their career. I can't say I'm ever impressed with what they do in free agency overall. I sent a tweet out a couple minutes ago. I mean, how about the Browns? I mean, my tweet was the Browns have 7 or 8 good players, and 4 of them just left yesterday. You know, and I'm being generous. They may not even have 8 good players. So, you know, you could look at each one of those deals and say, boy, was Alex Mack worth that? Was Benjamin worth that? Maybe not. But you got to put somebody on the field. I mean, their roster is quickly becoming the worst in the league. The Niners also, I think, are in that category. And you know I'm in Pittsburgh, and I'm not a huge baseball fan, but the Browns and the Niners are starting to remind me of my Pirates whenever they were on that 20-year losing streak, where you have to pay big money just to get average players to even consider coming in your building. And I think the Raiders used to be like that, the Jaguars used to be like that, but now that they've got quarterbacks, people are excited to go to those teams and gladly spend their money. Denver has to be considered, too. I mean, they've lost a lot. They lost Trevathan. They lost their starting quarterback. Well, actually, both their starting quarterbacks. A very good three-down inside linebacker. The highest, you know, sought-after defensive lineman probably on the market, although he was probably overpaid. And they really only kept Von Miller. So their wheels are spinning a little bit right now.
So, Matt, this is the Steelers super fan. I got a question for you. What is the best money spent so far in the thing? I'm thinking of Green for the Steelers. I can't believe the value they got for him.
Yeah, well, I'll talk Steelers with you all day, as you know. I'm shocked Steelers did. Yeah, let's do that. Let's just have a Steeler talk for the rest of the conversation. But for them to get Foster, Gay, Golden, who might be their starting strong safety and is their best special teams player, Ladarius Green, for the amount that they spent on them, and now they're really set up to basically do whatever they want in the draft. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they – I think they'll probably ink a nose tackle, probably McClendon, bring him back. And then you look at his team, it's like, yeah, you'd like to revamp the secondary, but they won a lot of games with this group anyways, and they're getting their second-round pick back from last year. That another tweet I sent out yesterday was, I think the Steelers will use – some pick in the top 4, give or take, on an offensive lineman, and they'll live with Villanueva at left tackle, and Foster's now a left guard, but they're going to bring in somebody there for depth and to groom. And then maybe the entire rest of their draft is going to be best defensive player available. I mean, they may bring in, you know, a first, second, third round defensive player to add to that mix. I think the Steelers are in really good shape.
Can I drag you back to Miami for a second, M-Dub? I was wondering about the trade for Maxwell and Alonso. They've moved up, 5 places in the draft, Philadelphia. And I'm wondering if, because there's probably about 10 or 7 or 8 elite players in the draft, plus the 2 quarterbacks, are Miami going to miss out there by dropping out of that top 10?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, and I haven't heard people talking about it. But moving up 5 spots in this draft could really pay off for Philadelphia. I mean, you may end up getting Stanley or, you know, Hargraves or somebody like that that you wouldn't have got a couple spots back and really get an impact player for Philadelphia. Or it even makes it easier if they're, you know, you could move up two spots if there's somebody you love there. You know, I mean, it just gives you so much more bargaining power. I think the Eagles are huge winners in this you know, whole process so far. They have two quarterbacks now, which I think actually is a good idea. I love the signing of Brooks as a guard. Their guards were horrible last year. You know, they replaced their free safety really well with McLeod, and he's not a big name guy, but he's a really good player. And the key is, it's kind of like an NBA salary dump. I mean, I feel like that they got rid of Maxwell and Murray, who they probably would have traded for a bag of footballs. You know, I mean, I those guys are expensive, didn't fit last year's system. Getting them off the books allows them to do a lot of other things, like we mentioned, which is key. Alonzo, who knows? You know, I could see why the Dolphins would take a chance on him. He fits their system much better than he does the Eagles. I mean, he needs to be protected, and Schwartz is not going to protect him with his upfield pass rush guys. So I could see why the Dolphins would take a chance on him, because he's not expensive. But, boy, he didn't look good last year, and he really – it doesn't look like he's recovered from injury.
I feel like we talk a lot about teams who make a lot of moves, but I feel like every year history shows that teams that make very few moves tend to really do the best. I look at the usual suspects, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Seahawks. M-Dub, can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, how some teams kind of stay pat every year and end up really kind of winning free agency without the sexy headlines?
Yeah, it's huge. And the one thing you said, you know, you throw in Seattle and Green Bay, well, they all have quarterbacks. They all have stable coaching staffs. You know, I mean, they know who they have. They don't let their great players get to free agency. They lock them up a year ahead of time. You know, I'm sure the Jaguars and I'm sure some teams like that would love to be able to do that too, and eventually maybe they will. But, you know, when you're paying a quarterback $18 million, you're not going to be active to go get other people. And certainly they're also very smart. You know, they draft well. They know their system. But I think the whole key is just stability in the organization. You know, these are the type of guys we are after that fit our schemes. Our schemes haven't changed in quite some time. And quarterback, you know, coach familiarity and you know, a group there that knows what they're doing. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm excited about what the Giants and some of these teams have done, but that doesn't mean they're going to be Super Bowl contenders.
All right, M-Dub, before we let you go, we're going to be doing our super fan application for the Denver Broncos. And you had mentioned the Denver Broncos, that their roster right now just getting decimated. And I'm curious about your thoughts behind what's going on in Denver, specifically around the quarterback position. I mean, you would think, I mean, the plan was in place. Peyton was going to retire. Osweiler was going to be the heir apparent. But now they don't have either quarterback. And honestly, I don't think their situation at quarterback, any of the options that they could possibly follow up on are all that attractive at this point.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, you're hearing things like Osweiler was offended and they, you know, he doesn't want to go back there. And Houston just flat out offering him more money by all accounts too. So I feel like Elway kind of, you know, is scrambling now. He probably thought he had Osweiler more or less locked up. And then when Osweiler signed with Houston, all of a sudden Trevathan fell too. So Denver's got all this money and nothing to do with it because they were setting up to spend it on the quarterback. I don't know what their answer is now. You know, I mean, there's the obvious names, you know, Kaepernick, Fitzpatrick, RG3. I don't trust any of them. I still think Fitzpatrick goes back to New York. So I don't know what to think of them. And they could lose C.J. Anderson, too. I mean, he's in Miami as we speak, and, you know, Chicago's interested in him. So they could take a big hit at running back. Their offensive line isn't very good, and their quarterbacks are horrible. I mean, you could still sit here and make the argument that, hey, we won the Super Bowl with that very good quarterback play, but quarterbacks are important, and the defense is not going to be as good next year as it was last year.
You think Von Miller's kicking himself right now?
No. He's about to become the richest defensive player in the league. I mean, I think he's quite content.
All right, M-Dub, tell people where they can find you.
On Twitter, at Williamson NFL. I started a new Fantasy Dynasty podcast. We talk a lot of NFL,
yeah,
basically, too. It's called the Dynasty Blueprint, through you guys, through Blog Talk. So I'm all over the place. So I'm not hard to find at all, but I put everything on Twitter, and I'm real active there.
All right, let's talk about some of these Bronco superfan submissions. They're all very interesting. I will start with the easiest one first, and that one comes to us from Tanroop, Hello, I am highly interested in returning as the Denver Broncos superfan. I'm currently a sophomore economics major at the University of California, Davis. I enjoyed being a superfan in the past and valued the relationships with former superfans from the Football Today podcast. I'm highly interested and up to date with NFL news and have been a Denver Broncos devotee since the early 2000s, back in the Clinton Portis days. I am available throughout the week for any podcasts. That is Tanroop. Any of you guys remember Tanroop? Greg, I'm going to guess you would be the one that most likely remembers him.
Oh, I absolutely do. He was a great mock drafter.
maybe we can get Tanroop on a couple of those podcasts of yore. We also have this application here from Kevin. Remember, these were all sent to nextfanup@gmail.com. Kevin says, Broncos superfan. That would be me, good sir. Been in Denver since 81. Painfully watched three ugly Super Bowls to get the back-to-back wins. Horrified again during Super Bowl 48, only to get Super Bowl 50 in glorious fashion. Now the team is being dismantled via free agency. I know it's part of it, but starting over at quarterback in a quarterback-driven league is a tall order. Anyways, I always have an opinion on the Broncos. Feel free to hit me up anytime. He left his phone number. I'm not going to say that on the podcast. That would be cruel. That's Kevin, guys. What do we think about Kevin, Neil?
I quite liked Kevin's giving us a little bit of information there, a bit of team news, a bit of depth, and his history of all the Super Bowl success and failures. Quite like that.
And lastly here, and I think this is going to be our winner. This is from Lewis, who emails in that he's buddies with Andrew, our Jets superfan. By the way, yes, being a friend of a superfan is a total way into becoming a superfan. As he looked at it as a Broncos GM, looking at what his team has got going on, he mentions the dismantling of the team through free agency as of right now. The major holes that he sees in Denver are obviously at quarterback, one of the guard positions on the offensive line, and defensive end. He mentions quarterback is obviously the most important position in football. Denver's offense was pretty pedestrian last season. We do not need a quarterback to win us games. We need someone who will keep the chains moving and won't turn the ball over. We have ammunition to move up in the draft, but probably not enough to get Goff or Wentz. But a couple of quarterbacks I would feel comfortable drafting after the first round is Dak Prescott or Jacoby Brissett, both mobile quarterbacks who could fit Gary Kubiak's offense. I'd also be looking to sign a veteran quarterback, possibly Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think that's going to happen. Or RG3. I don't think that's going to help. I would also be willing to trade a fourth round pick for Mike Glennon. Of all the quarterbacks he mentioned there, that's the one that most intriguing to me. What do you think about that, Justin?
I like it quite a bit. He's got some details. He's got some ideas. He has the patience to deal with a Jets fan as a friend. I mean, it's pretty much all you can ask for.
That is awesome. By the way, I encourage more shots at Andrew at any given point in time during the course of this podcast. The one thing that he did not mention was the Denver Broncos special teams. So he is going to have to work on that aspect of his application. But I think, Lewis, you fit the bill. Tanroop, we will definitely reach out to you because we're definitely going to have you on one of these shows. As a former super fan, you definitely deserve that consideration.
You know, three applications all at once. That almost sounds like a next fan up TV reality show.
I like the idea, Neil. I like the idea. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow along on how we're going to do this, I decided the best way to do the free agency reactions was to use NFL.com's free agency tab, going through their top 99, starting at number one. We're going to go all the way through, and we're going to try and do this in about 40 minutes or less. Good luck, everyone. Here we go. Malik Jackson, formerly of the Denver Broncos, ends up signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which I think is a very big move. Greg, what do you think of this move by the Jaguars and what they're doing so far in free agency?
I think this move, along with bringing in Gibson from Cleveland, is really going to help their defense. And adding back in that first-round pick that they had last year, I'm excited about this team. As a little pet project, I've been watching a lot of Allen Robinson because he's on my fantasy team, so that's the reason I care. But I'm so high on this team. I'm going to jinx them, I think, here in a few months. But I think this could be the real riser.
Yes, I failed to mention at the beginning of the show, last year my boyfriends were the Atlanta Falcons. I've been teasing a few times. I don't remember if I've done it officially on the podcast who my boyfriends are going to be this year. As free agency has gone on, my feelings towards a particular team have definitely become a lot more strong, stronger, one might even say. It is not the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Chris Ivory also signed in Jacksonville as the backup or complement to TJ Yeldon. I think that will be a very positive move on the offensive side of things. They also managed to re-sign Mercedes Lewis, and they added Sam Young, a center, to their offensive line ranks. Stefan Wisniewski still remains unsigned. We'll see what happens there. But I think the Jaguars are definitely, I thought last year they were a team on the rise and they were oh so close but couldn't get over the hump. I have a feeling they're still going to be there. I don't know if they're over the hump quite yet. What do you think about that, Neil?
No, I don't think they're over the hump yet. I think they're looking good. Like them very much. And yeah, we'll see. I think all they've done is help themselves.
We talked a lot about the Giants with Matt Williamson. Obviously, Olivier Vernon ended up there. So I'm going to skip the Giants at this particular point in time. But Kelechi Osemele, offensive guard, ends up with the Raiders. Justin, what do you think about what the Raiders are doing right now?
I love what they're doing right now. Osemele is one of the best guards in the league, and he's young. And when you have a young quarterback that you're high on, there's nothing better to spend your resources on than things that make his life easier. And Derek Carr is a little bit more of your kind of classic pocket passer. So having guards that kind of keep that interior pass rush away is really essential. They've had a ton of money to spend, and I think they're doing a tremendous job with it this offseason.
Bruce Irvin also signs there. Sean Smith, which they steal from their division rivals, the Chiefs, as a corner, signs there. I mentioned that there's a team that my feelings are becoming stronger towards. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that team is the Oakland Raiders. They are definitely pulling at my boyfriend team of 2016. The Raiders are looking good. I think they are a team that's going over the hump, and especially considering what's going on in Denver right now. I think Kansas City will be a strong contender in that division, but I think the Raiders are right there. Greg?
I like the Raiders. I really like the Bruce Irvin move. I think across from Mac, that's going to be a big headache for the Broncos and the Chargers next year.
The Bruce Irvin move, I kind of wanted to mention because he's coming off of my team. He's a much, much better player than I think people realize. There's a lot of big names on this defense, so he kind of gets lost on the shuffle. But he was a first-round draft pick based purely off of his pass-rushing ability, and he transitioned into a legitimate starting outside linebacker. He is a physical freak from a size-speed combination. You combine that with the crazy athleticism of Khalil Mack. That is a really, really potent and devastating linebacker group that they're putting together. And their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton, former linebackers coach for the Seahawks, knows how to use Bruce Irvin the right way. Again, I love the moves they're making in this offseason.
Do you think, Justin, should Raiders fans be concerned that Seattle are letting Irvin go?
No, and you know this is something that I think you're seeing with the Broncos right now. You know, when you have some success, you can't afford everybody. The number one free agent lineman that a lot of people are seeing go, Malik Jackson, they want to keep him, they just can't afford him. The same is true of Bruce Irvin. We've all in the Northwest known for a few years that we couldn't keep Bruce Irvin. It's this weird problem where he's kind of too good on a team that has so much money tied up on defense. This is one of those you know, we're glad you're on the team. We wish you the best. Glad you're going to be in the AFC, not the NFC. Go get that money, man.
That's well done. Next guy on the list, Doug Martin, running back from Tampa Bay. He ends up back in Tampa Bay. The only other players Tampa's signed right now, Keith Tandy, a strong safety, probably a special teams player. J.R. Sweezy, guard, also ends up in Tampa Bay. Another departure from the Seahawks, Justin.
Yeah, the Sweezy one's interesting to me. He got paid a lot of money. And I like Sweezy. I'm not sure that it's gonna how it's gonna work out though. He was never an offensive lineman until he was in the NFL. And Tom Cable, who you know, former Raiders head coach, is an elite developer of talent on the offensive line, and turns Sweezy into a pretty good guard. I don't know how he'll do without Cable there in the system coaching him. So I'm a little worried about that. The Doug Martin signing, I thought it had to happen. I mean, I think that, again, you know, young quarterback that you like, you give him a really solid running back to take some pressure off of him. So, you know, I have mixed feelings on their signing so far.
Anybody else feeling strongly about Tampa Bay one way or the other right now?
I just wonder which Doug Martin Tampa Bay is going to get now that he's got his $15 million guaranteed. I think he's had a couple of poor seasons before this, and all of a sudden, contract year, he's running like a rat of a drainpipe, and he's got his deal. I wonder what they're going to see next year.
Well, that's one way to look at it, or you could think one season he finally has a quarterback and he has a really good season.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. Take a bit of pressure off the run game, yeah. Yeah, let's see.
Next up is Mario Williams. He ends up signing in Miami. We talked a little bit about Miami with M-Dub. I don't know if I necessarily agree with him about Mario Williams versus Vernon. I wouldn't have minded seeing Williams end up on the Patriots. Obviously, his paycheck was not going to allow that to happen. And what's more interesting from the Dolphins' perspective are the players that have left. Rishard Matthews now in Tennessee, Lamar Miller now in Houston, Derek Shelby now in Atlanta, and Vernon, as we mentioned, signs with the Giants. I believe Ron, our Miami Dolphins superfan, is going to make an appearance on the Sunday program as more free agency news will be covered later on, all the moves that will happen through the weekend. But the Dolphins, you know, I was feeling pretty good about the Dolphins for a little while, and now I'm not so sure, Greg.
I really like the trade they pulled off, bringing in the corner and the linebacker for moving back in the draft, despite them moving out of the elite spot. But I might be the only one that feels this way, but Mario Williams to me is just a dog. I mean, he's 10 years in the league, made a lot of money. I've never seen it in him. I know he had double-digit sacks a year or two, but he's always underachieved from what he could have been. And I don't know if I want that around a young team. So I hate that move.
That's an interesting take. Speaking of guys not signed yet, Eric Weddle still remains an unrestricted free agent. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the Patriots colors, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I just wanted to say that I think Miami, I don't like what they've done at all, really. I mean, unlike Greg, I don't like those two players they brought in, Maxwell or Alonso. But the one guy they lost who I really like is Derek Shelby. He went off to Atlanta, and I was speaking to a guy at work today, Sean, who's a big Atlanta fan, and he was just over the moon that Shelby signed. And I think he's a really ascending player. And could be an absolute bargain in this free agency.
So Danny Trevathan, one of those Broncos departures, ends up in Chicago. As I'm trying to pull up Chicago here, they have also managed to re-sign Tracy Porter. Jacquizz Rodgers also re-signed. They end up getting Bobby Macy, tackle, from Arizona on board as well. They lost Matt Forte to the Jets. The Bears are definitely a team in transition. The question is, do they realize they're a team in transition or not? What do you think about, Justin?
I think they do, but they're in kind of a weird spot where they also do have a pretty decent quarterback who's a little bit older. I think just they're going to follow that classic John Fox play it safe formula where they're going to make some unexciting moves for the most part. I mean, their biggest thing was just franchising Alshon Jeffrey. They're going to have White next year. So I think their offense will be pretty good even without Forte. So I think that the moves they're making are the right ones. They're just kind of boring. And I think they're just going to do that very, very kind of blue-collar John Fox, you know, little incremental improvements but never be the most exciting. But I think they're doing the right stuff. I think it's a good bat that they're on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The as we mentioned, Matt Forte departs for the Jets. That's a move that I'm not too thrilled about. I definitely don't want to see a decent running back in New York. But the Jets, you know, they also re-signed Bilal Powell and signed Kyrie Robinson. So it's an interesting running back core. The Jets seem to be highly focused on the running back position at this particular point. Neil?
Yes, they are. I really like the signing of Matt Forte. I think he's one of the most underrated runners and receivers at the backfield that we've had in the last 10 years. But whenever I think of the Jets at the moment, I'm thinking, what are they doing with the quarterback situation? Why is Fitzpatrick not back in there? And along the same lines, why is nobody going after Fitzpatrick? Maybe there's something happening you guys know more.
I would look at Fitzpatrick as he definitely should be back in New York. New York has got a price tag. Fitzpatrick has his price tag, which is higher than what New York has. But nobody else, like you mentioned, seems to be going after Fitzpatrick because he does have a longer history of not being as good as he was last year. And he is on the older side in terms of quarterbacks. That said, I don't think the Jets are going to do any better than Ryan Fitzpatrick at this particular juncture. And I don't know if Fitzpatrick can do better than the Jets. I mean, the only other place where I think Fitzpatrick could fit in would be the Broncos. So that's a good question. Why are the Broncos not knocking on Ryan Fitzpatrick's door right now?
Well, I think I know. I think the reason is because Fitzpatrick's only ever really had success with Chan Gailey running his offense. He was almost a Pro Bowl quarterback when he was in Buffalo with Chan. And then again last year, Chan Gailey, I don't know, gave him some sort of a magic potion that made him hold up for 15 games.
Moving on to the moves made by Houston. That is Houston, not Houston, because I said so. They managed to re-sign Chris Clark and their punter, Shane Leckler. Good moves there. But really, the moves of most importance, not so much Lamar Miller, who will replace Arian Foster, whom they allowed to leave, but also the acquisition of Brock Osweiler. And, you know, before free agency really got underway, you know, what I was hearing about Brock was, does Brock want to be the guy where it all falls on his shoulders in a place like Cleveland, or does he want to have a decent team around him in Denver? Now, I don't know if he had an inkling that the team was going to fall apart in Denver, but honestly, could there be a better team than the Houston Texans for Brock Osweiler? Justin.
I mean, I like the fit a lot. Obviously, that's entirely dependent on if Brock Osweiler turns out to be a good quarterback, but they got to the playoffs with nothing at quarterback last year. So, you know, he'll be an upgrade by default, even if he's lousy. A stellar defense with good pieces all around on the offense, you know, a high-end wide receiver, a good running back in Lamar Miller. There's not a better situation to be a young quarterback right now than the Houston Texans. I understand him making that move completely.
Yeah, it's a huge move. I kind of had a feeling maybe the Rams would have come in for him and tried to get him. That might have been a good situation for him. But he certainly... he's making the most of his move. He's getting, what, $37 million guaranteed? That's pretty good. My concern with him playing there is Lamar Miller's fine, but how is Lamar Miller going to be when he gets 250 carries over the course of a season? That's quite a workload that he's never faced before.
So we'll see.
We talked about the Chiefs with Matt Williamson, Jay Howard, Derek Johnson, both end up in Kansas City again. At number 17 on their list of free agents is Russell Okun. Justin, this is a player that you know a lot about. I would not rank Russell Okun at 17. And my biggest thing with Russell is that, yes, as a player and from a skill standpoint, he's excellent. But when does he play?
Not on Sundays, I'll tell you that. You know, he came into the league. It was kind of interesting because he had a reputation of actually being particularly durable, and that hasn't proven to be the case. And, you know, some of it is bad luck. You know, he got a torn pectoral 1 year from a cheap shot, things like that. But he's kind of an odd duck. I mean, he's a physical specimen, perfect for left tackle. His skill set is amazing. I remember his first year in the league, like his first or second game, him stonewalling Julius Peppers in his prime. Very, very impressive. Whatever team ends up with him, if he manages to kind of get over the injury bug, you have a high-end left tackle. And there are not many of those. But it's, I mean, with the injuries, and it's kind of weird he's representing himself. So, you know, he's making some odd decisions. I don't know exactly what's going to end up with him, but he is, when he plays, a good player.
Do you know if Seattle offered him a deal?
They are negotiating a deal with him. That's something that's happening for sure. But, I mean, even that's weird. He's his own agent. So what does negotiating a deal sound like in that situation, right? You know, is he just like shooting some text with Schneider saying like, hey, what's up? Give me $12 million a year. And Schneider's like, no, is that a negotiation? So I have no idea what's going on. But at least the public face is that they are talking, at least.
The Atlanta Falcons are going to come up next here in our conversation as the 19th ranked free agent, according to NFL.com, is Alex Mack, the center from Cleveland. He's now in Atlanta. We also mentioned Derek Shelby from the Dolphins ended up here in Atlanta. They re-signed Adrian Claiborne, and they also signed a backup quarterback from Matty Ice, being Matty Schaub. So there's all those moves. Plus, I believe... earlier today, Mohamed Sanu is now a confirmed Atlanta Falcon. Is that correct, gentlemen?
Correct.
So I know I saw Tim, our Falcons super fan, kind of complaining about Mohamed Sanu, and maybe he got a little bit more money than his worth. I mean, that's all relative anyway. I'm not going to comment on a man's paycheck. But I will say Mohamed Sanu was a guy I had a uniform waiting for in New England. And I do think that he's a very good number two wide receiver. And standing next to Julio Jones on the other side of the field, I think that makes for a pretty decent wide receiving core. So I don't know what Tim's problem is there. And apparently you all agree with me.
It's Tim's former Steeler fandom coming out for the former Bengal. That's why. So.
I wouldn't have given the money to Sanu. I think Atlanta had been better served maybe taking the guy the Steelers got at the tight end position there. I think at the tight end is where they're really missing a really good pass catcher there. So I wouldn't have gone with him.
We're gonna move on. Yes, go for it.
Just interesting that Matt Schaub got picked up, and I believe Matt Castle also got picked up today. So I was kind of hoping that one of us would be getting a phone call at some point during this pod. Because if those two guys can get picked up, then hey, the chance for us.
Oh, that's well done. That is well done, Neil. Or maybe my son, as we've been looking at spring flag football leagues here. He could have gotten a call. That would have been good. Let's move to the Bengals here quickly as, you know, as Mohamed Sanu was a former Bengal. There's a few free agents that they still have available. Reggie Nelson ranked 22 on this list from NFL.com. George Aloka, though, who I think is much more valuable than Reggie Nelson, was ranked at 24. So I question the rankings here from NFL.com. But Aloka ends up back in Cincinnati, as does Adam Pac-Man Jones and Vincent Ray. Marvin Jones, however, leaves Cincinnati to head to Detroit to replace the retired Calvin Johnson. although replace is kind of a strong word. What do we think about what's happening in Cincinnati, Greg, as you mentioned, your hatred of the Bengals?
Well, I don't mind what they're doing on defense. Ray's a decent player, you know, Pac-Man Jones, whatever. And their safety they retain is really good. And, you know, the rest of the defense is intact. But I really question what they're doing with no receivers being available in the draft and none in free agency. I really question them not holding on to either Jones or Sanu. But both of them got outrageous contracts. But with Andy Dalton as their quarterback, I really question them letting his weapons walk on him because he needs weapons.
I just wondered, do one of you guys know who got the bigger contract, Sanu or Jones?
Jones got $8 million a year. Sanu got 6.5.
Okay, thank you.
All right, moving now to Carolina. They managed to bring back Charles Johnson. They also brought back Stephen Hill, Mike Tolbert, Joe Webb, whatever about all of those guys. Brad Nortman left Carolina. He's their punter, signed in Jacksonville. Again, who cares about a punter? Not really a lot going on in Carolina. I don't know why I stopped here. Next guy up at 29 on this list is Alex Boone, the guard. He signs in Minnesota, and that's a good place to talk about. And Alex Boone, I think, is a big improvement for the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. I think it'll be a guy that Teddy Bridgewater will appreciate having in front of him.
Yeah, sort of the exact same point I made about Derek Carr. When you have a young quarterback you like, solidifying the offensive line is key. And when you also have an all-time great running back, making his job just a little bit easier, not a bad thing. The Vikings are kind of an interesting one to me because I think in general they're a good team. They're making all the right moves. But I mentioned this before. I'm just not convinced that their quarterback is an NFL starting quarterback. So these might be all the right things to do. If you have the guy, I'm just not convinced that they have the guy.
I am not going to
Dome Stadium.
All I'm going to warn against, Justin, is you do not go against Teddy Bridgewater and the Minnesota Vikings. I learned that the hard way last year. The Vikings also signed Michael Griffin, free safety from Tennessee. Obviously, he's an older veteran. But the Vikings, I think, are making some decent moves. And as you mentioned with M-Dub, sometimes it's the moves that you don't make that really highlight what you're doing in free agency.
Let's make sure we mention, too, though, that they do have Mike Wallace, whose deal is expiring, and I don't think that they're bringing him back. And I think, at least for where they're at as a team, that's probably addition by subtraction. I mean, he's kind of a one-trick pony deep threat, which is not Teddy Bridgewater's skill set. And freeing up that money for the rest of the team is a good move. I'll absolutely give them that.
He, by the way, Wallace was in fact waived by the Vikings, so he will not be back in Minnesota.
There we go.
Going to San Francisco, they managed to re-sign Ian Williams, their nose tackle. They also signed Thad Lewis, quarterback. He was previously with the Philadelphia Eagles, so there's obviously a Chip Kelly connection there. I do not believe Thad Lewis will be the starting quarterback in San Francisco, but definitely something to see and to note, and I have so noted it. Let's talk about the Steelers, Greg, as number 39 comes up, Ladarius Green. We had spoken briefly on Slack. I thought this was a good move by the Steelers. You weren't all that thrilled about it, though.
Well, it took me about 5 hours to wake up to it. It's showing a shift in the offensive play calling, I think, or what they're planning on doing. Heath Miller leaving. They used to use Heath Miller a lot in the shotgun with the other three wide receiver sets. Really, they used him as a fourth wide receiver, even though he was slow. And I think they're going to do the same type of thing with Green. What I wasn't crazy about was we have Martavis Bryant and Marcus Wheaton not getting enough targets as it is already. And then I was hoping they were going to start working in the Sammy Coates that we drafted in the third round last year, who was a big receiver himself. And I was viewing Green just as a big receiver when he originally signed yesterday. And I'm seeing that he's worked on his blocking a little bit, his weight's up a little bit more. So I'm a little bit calmer about it. I do think he's going to be a matchup problem when you put them on the field with any three of the wide receivers they have. So I'm excited. I'm slowly getting more and more excited about it. But transitioning a little bit, I'm also more excited about the Steelers keeping Ramon Foster and Willie Gay, who are 55 and 81 on the list. Foster has been with the Steelers for 7 years, and he's been our starting left guard for at least the last five. And I just love the idea of keeping that offensive line intact for our offense. Maybe we can keep Ben healthy this year. And big play Willie Gay is one of my favorite Steelers right now. He's older. He's been with the team for a long time. But all he does is make plays. He gets interceptions. And he has some type of amazing streak of interceptions returned for touchdowns going on. So,
what are your thoughts on Kelvin Beachum? He's going to return to Pittsburgh? Do you want him back in Pittsburgh?
Oh, you absolutely want him back. I think when healthy, even though he's has a few knocks for about being small, he is, I think, one of the premier left tackles in pass protection in the league. He just doesn't get any credit because he is small and Ben holds the ball too much and Ben gets hit too much. But he does give enough time. He's always matched up one-on-one against Suggs and does a great job. If they can find it in the budget to keep him, I would love it. But I've seen things where the Ravens are hot on him. So that'd be a dagger in the heart.
Heading now to Detroit, we have Haloti Ngata returning to Detroit for another year. They also managed to re-sign Tyron Walker. We mentioned Marvin Jones heading to Detroit as Calvin Johnson announced his retirement. What do we think of that Lions wide receiver core at this particular point? Obviously losing Calvin Johnson, who I believe will most likely be a Hall of Famer, perhaps even. What do we think about what's happening right now in Detroit?
Well, I think the issue really is that his departure makes them worse at two positions, because what's going to happen is the number one there now is Golden Tate, who is a very high-end number two, but he's not a number one. So they're going to be worse there because he's going to be drawing their main guys. And then the guy they're sliding in at number two is not as good as Tate was. So they're a little bit worse at both of those positions. That said, if we learned one thing about the Lions last year, trust in Jim Bob Cooter, which is not a sentence I ever thought I would say. he seems to do really good work with them. So I think their offense will be maybe slightly worse, but I don't think it's going to take a nosedive. I don't see any improvement in a free agency class. I think that's all going to have to come from the draft. But at least they haven't cratered. And the money they're saving with Calvin gone is substantial. His cap hit was crazy. So not to keep beating the dead horse of the addition by subtraction, but I think what he contributed on the field was way less than what he made. And so I think if they spend the money right, they could be better off for his departure.
I wonder if they made a mistake a year or so ago by franchising Calvin Johnson and letting Sue walk.
It's an interesting thought. And interesting.
I don't know. I look at the price tag of Sue, and I think any team is better off without that.
Well, you know, the one thing I've been surprised about so far with the Lions is that their line was awful last year. And you would think losing Calvin Johnson, they want to help that offense in any way they can, even if it meant just improving the line for Stafford, because you're not going to find, I mean, the receivers aren't going to get open like Calvin Johnson got open. So I would have expected them to go after somebody, one of the big name offensive linemen, and that didn't happen.
Heading to San Diego, where they kept one of their offensive linemen, Joe Barksdale. They also managed to keep Antonio Gates, which, you know, he's in his 13th season. He has some injury issues here towards the end of his career. Perhaps letting Ladarius Green go to Pittsburgh was not the best move for San Diego, but that we'll have to wait to see that. They managed to sign Travis Benjamin away from Cleveland. Dwight Lowry and Brandon Mebane also sign in San Diego. And we'll start with Brandon. Justin, what are your thoughts there on Mebane as a player?
Love Brandon Mebane. He was the longest tenured Seahawk going back to the Mike Holmgren days. He is what you would consider sort of a above league average legitimate starting nose tackle and has been his entire career. It's a good move. I mean, I look at what they're doing and I can only think that they're trying to win now while they still have Phillip Rivers, because, you know, these are not young ascending players. These are older established players. You know, a defensive lineman going into, I think this is his, this will be his 10th year. That is not a long-term move that you're making. I'm impressed that they're actually able to get players. You would think with the turmoil of the, you know, potential moving and all that stuff would have an impact on that. But players apparently are still interested in going. So, you know, I guess I like what they're doing. It's just a little surprising to me.
I like the signing of Travis Benjamin. I'll be really interested to see what he can do with a quarterback throwing him the ball rather than what he had up there in Cleveland. I like that a lot. Really fast player, just what they need.
The New Orleans Saints signed Kobe Fleener, the 50th ranked free agent, according to NFL.com, at tight end. They did re-sign the Who Man, though, a guy close to my heart as a former Patriot, which is a little disappointing to see. Ben Watson here, it says that he's with New Orleans, but it looks like I thought he signed with the Ravens. In any case, Kobe Fleener would be the starting tight end there for New Orleans. They lost Ramon Humber, an outside linebacker, to the New England Patriots. That looks like a special teams move. And Kyrie Robinson, as we mentioned before, is now with the Jets. The Saints really not doing much other than the Kobe Fleener signing, but I did want to give the Saints some time here. And let's go now to Buffalo. Lovely Buffalo. Richie Incognito re-signed in Buffalo. We mentioned that Mario Williams has left. Cordy Glenn has also re-signed in Buffalo. So two parts of that offensive line remains intact up north. But Buffalo has a few departures here already. Nigel Bradham is now in Philadelphia, as is Ron Brooks, Leotis McKelvin. Interestingly enough, a lot of guys leaving Buffalo for Philadelphia.
That kind of makes sense with Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, going down there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That would make sense. All right, so as we move now, Mark Barron has apparently decided to stay with the Los Angeles Rams, a team, you know, moving to L.A. Anybody have any thoughts here on Los Angeles at this particular moment in time?
I don't know why. Sorry, Neil.
No, go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a sarcastic comment about I didn't know why they keep giving Mark Barron money. he seems like he's been paid like you know, as much as Peyton Manning or something at this point. He keeps getting big contracts.
He was the first round pick for Tampa, wasn't he? And he really busted out there and was pretty much a given away in a fire sale to the Rams.
Correct, but he stayed on his rookie contract the whole time. So he got that.
Yeah. And now he's playing more a sort of linebacker, isn't he? A sort of hybrid player.
Yeah, and he's actually done a decent job in that linebacker role. The one thing I'll say about the Rams is they might get a borderline winners of free agency just by not spending a ton of money on Janoris Jenkins and letting somebody else make that mistake. He is not a very good player, and he is making too much money.
Mm-hmm. The one thing with the Rams is, I mean, I don't like the Rams at all, to be honest. But if I was a Rams fan, I'd be going crazy. They're making Case Keenum sound like the next coming of Joe Montana. It would just drive me nuts.
Well, it's a new fan base. They don't know any better. let's skip to Philadelphia, where, because former Ram Rodney McLeod ended up signing in Philadelphia. I mentioned a couple of other departures to Philadelphia from Buffalo. They also got guard Brandon Brooks away from Houston, and Chase Daniel, the quarterback, the backup quarterback at Kansas City, ends up in Philadelphia. Now, I've seen a lot of conversation about Chase Daniel. Was it you, Neil, that mentioned this about Daniels? I know someone tweeted out, and it wasn't one of our guys, that Sam Bradford is now the most expensive insurance policy for Chase Daniel.
You know something? I'll throw something else into the mix. I have a funny feeling Philadelphia are moving up the draft at the moment to get a quarterback.
Well, That's interesting. Why do you think that?
Because I don't think they're struck on Bradford or Daniel, but one of them will get them through the next couple of years. They'll bring in somebody. I think they're probably after Vince and try and get a hold of him and keep him on the sidelines for a couple of years and then bring him on. I think Philadelphia will really, really try and get a franchise quarterback, and I don't think Bradford or Daniel are that, but I think they're good enough to hold the fort.
Well, that we'll definitely see. If you want to be the Eagles superfan, we do have an opening. Send us your application like our Broncos guys did, nextfanup@gmail.com. The Tennessee Titans are next on my list of teams to discuss. Matt Cassel, one of the Mats that you mentioned earlier, Neil, signed in Tennessee. Ben Jones, the center from Houston, is now a Tennessee Titan. And Rishard Matthews, the wide receiver from Miami, is now going to be catching balls from Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. They also managed to acquire DeMarco Murray from the Philadelphia Eagles. Tennessee making some moves here.
Yeah, they're making moves, but have we come to the conclusion that DeMarco Murray is just not a good football player? Because I think he's clearly not. He made some stupid joke about how he sort of took last year off when really he was just lousy because he wasn't behind the best offensive line in the league. You know, if you want to talk about somebody who is firmly in that just a guy category, give me DeMarco Murray.
See, I disagree. I can't disagree more. I think he's not Le'Veon Bell. Let's get be clear here. But I still think he's a top 10 running back in this league. And the move that the Titans made, switching spots in the fourth round to get him, missing out on that big signing bonus where they don't have to pay him. They actually got him quasi on the cheap side. I think it was a great move. That is almost as good as my Ladarius Green move. So, I mean, I love it.
I quite like the move. I don't think we're going to get the 1,800 yards, Murray, and I don't think we're going to get the guy who barely touched the ball last year. We're somewhere in the middle. I think what Tennessee needs is they need some names up there as well, don't they? Somebody to just get a bit of enthusiasm for the team, around the team, and I think he'll do that. I quite like it. I think he'll be a hard running back. I would expect about 1,200 yards next year.
The last guy on my list that we haven't talked about is Rolando McClain. He ends up re-signing in Dallas, and that's all we're going to say about the last guy on the list. We're going to now, since we're here and we've got you guys, Neil, what are your thoughts so far in free agency in terms of the Washington Redskins?
Actually, very happy. We're one of those teams who have done very little. We've re-signed a couple of linebackers, our longest-standing player in Golston. We've also brought back Colt McCoy, which was a great relief. I actually do mean that. It was a great relief to have him back. I think it gives us a good bit of stability at the position. Looks like we've had Chris Long round for a visit. He didn't sign. I'm happy enough with that. I think Andre Branch is coming round today or tomorrow to visit. And I quite like him. But I'm very happy, very low-key, not putting out the big contracts of those terrible years that have gone before us where we spent hundreds of millions. You know, Albert Hainsworth, that's all I have to say, really, isn't it? Pretty happy. I would quite like, from the remaining free agents, I actually quite like Hayward, the cornerback from Green Bay, maybe Nelson, from the safety from Cincinnati. One of those players. Maybe get somebody for the defensive backfield.
Justin, how about you and Seattle?
I feel really, really good with where we're at. I mean, the Hawks are bringing back 9 out of the 11 starters from defense, 10 out of the 11 backups for those positions. So the defense is largely unchanged other than the departure of Bruce Irvin, which we spent a bunch of time on. And I'm fine with that. The offense is largely unchanged other than the departures of J.R. Sweezy and Jermaine Kearse. Both of those are pretty replaceable cogs. And, you know, every year you kind of get used to the opening of free agency for the Seahawks is departure season, right? That's when people go away. But also keep in mind you get a bunch of compensatory picks, you know, that old like Ravens model. And you use that draft capital to restock your team. You know, you get, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks out of those. And you pick up guys like Cam Chancellor in the fifth round, Richard Sherman in the fifth round. I love the way it's gone. It's gone pretty much exactly to blueprint.
I will say quickly about the Patriots. This is pretty typical. They didn't sign anybody in the first few hours except for Ramon Humber. And I'm not all that excited. Clearly a special teams guy. And so there's really nothing to report in New England other than, you know, what Patrick has said, because I'm sure Patrick will join us next week when the Patriots will be signing all of those budget type guys, the lunch pail guys that are going to get overlooked. My concern with that, and I didn't get to talk about this with M-Dub about Cleveland, is they did sign that baseball dude. And I'm wondering if they've flipped their strategy in such a way that they're now going to try and find those type of value guys. But unfortunately, because Cleveland is Cleveland, it's just not going to work this year. And they're going to have to go through a year of growing pains before that actual model will end up working in Cleveland.
That's a really good point.
All righty. So, as I mentioned, we have a show coming up this Sunday evening. We'll have more super fans with more reactions about all the other signings that are going to happen between now and then. I'm sure, as is typical, I'm going to turn this podcast off and somebody's going to sign, and that's going to really upset me. We will be taking your super fan applications. We got some from Denver Broncos fans. We have more openings that we need filled, specifically Buffalo, Cleveland, Tennessee, Philadelphia, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Detroit, New Orleans, and Arizona. If you're a fan of any of those teams, or you know somebody that's a fan of one of those teams, and you think that they would be a great contributor to our podcast, have them send an application, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can always tweet us at NFU Podcast. A lot of our super fans are getting involved in conversations on Twitter, so feel free to hit us up there. And of course, we have our off-season to-do lists. See how your team is stacking up right now, according to our super fans, on Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Or, of course, you can put Next Fan Up in the search bar on Facebook. And our page is readily available. Did we miss anything, guys? Did we cover everything?
Great. Just to say how I really enjoyed Greg's Twitter draft, mock draft polls. Been really good fun.
Yeah, be watching out for the next one. The next one's coming out today. It'll be the Ravens. We're already on the pick six.
Fantastic. See, the Superfan Super Mock Draft will be here in no time. And we'll be getting that kick-started probably as soon as free agency dies down a little bit. So for Greg, for Neil, for Justin, special thanks to Matt Williamson. Go listen to his podcast, The Dynasty Blueprint, please. It's on iTunes. You can leave a review there. Subscribe and leave a review there. You can also check it out at blogtalkradio.com. I am merely Pod Vader, and this guy is Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.